12, Mark chapter 12, and look at a few scripture verses this morning as we continue our basic training lessons. I'm going to switch over here. Mark chapter number 12, and as we've looked in the basic training and the foundation of our Christian life, it starts on salvation, knowing for sure that you are a child of God. I'll break for a moment for a bit of a testimony. It was a Tuesday night, I think, right? Tuesday? No. It was Wednesday night, right? Wednesday night, we get home from church, and Charlotte came to us and to my wife first, and I think she said she wanted to get saved. Now, she's getting close to 6 years old, and so, you know, it's kid grows up in church, and generally at a young age, we've been praying for them and for the girls to get saved, and so my wife said, why don't you come talk to Dad? So we all sat on the bed and asked her about getting saved. And, you know, you don't want to put your child off from getting saved, but you want to make sure they know what they're doing and not just saying a prayer. And, you know, having the wisdom of that, I don't want to push them off if they're ready. And if they're not ready, I want to have some wisdom to help them to understand. And so she was ready. And she was so excited, though, that you didn't see a whole lot of conviction, you know. And there's some of that, like, I'm lost and I'm going to hell, you know, all that. And so she was so excited to get saved. And so I got her little Bible out and we went through the plan of salvation. And I said, you ready to pray now? And she said, yes. And she prayed to get saved this past Wednesday. And so that was a blessing. And we were excited about that. And so then Caroline goes, I want to get saved now too. And she's a year younger than her. And I was like, okay, you don't want to get saved just because your sister gets saved. And but she was so excited to want to get saved as well. And so, you know, you kind of like, well, maybe tomorrow. And she's like, I want to get saved now. So we talked a little bit, and she quickly got distracted on the conversation. I thought, okay, she's not quite ready. Then I said, well, let's talk tomorrow. And she, you know, that didn't happen. And so we go to put the kids to bed, and it was fairly late. Joel was getting back from bus, so she wanted to wait to tell Joel. And so she told him when he got home. And so we put him to bed. And I don't know how many times Charlotte got out of bed that night because she was so excited. She said, how am I supposed to go to sleep when I'm so excited that I got saved? And so that was really neat to see. And so we wrote it in her Bible, and that's a blessed time to get to share as a parent, that you pray for your kids to get saved and getting to have that time with them. I'm not against a child getting saved at church or one of their Sunday school classes, but I think it's something special for a parent that has talked with their child and knows them to get to have that time with them. And so anyway, that was a blessing for the week. Anyway, going back to that basic training of salvation. And so that means something a little bit more special for us about getting saved. And then next, after you get saved, one of the many blessings that come after salvation. You know, salvation's a package deal. And many times you think, well, I get a home in heaven, and that's the best part of the package deal, right? But there's a whole lot more benefits that come after it. And one of those is prayer, getting to talk to God. And that time getting to spend alone with God, and the Lord hears you and you hear from God, what a blessed opportunity that is. And then having a Bible. I hope you're thankful that you have a Bible. And that's such a blessing. Have a Bible, but read it. Use it. Memorize it. Obey it. Listen to it. Don't just own a Bible. It should own us. It should guide and rule our lives. Today we'll look at the subject of stewardship. I did preach on this last Sunday morning, so you got kind of a two-part message there. But in Mark chapter 12, and verse number 41, we'll read here. The Bible says in Jesus, I'll give you a moment. Mark 12, 41. I think we're good now. And Jesus sat over against the treasury and beheld how the people cast money into the treasury. And many that were rich cast in much. Does it matter just what you do or how and why you do it? Right? It does matter. And now, God has a whole lot of advantages more than we do, but He knows the thoughts and the intents of our heart that we don't know. We can think, I know why they did that and why they're here. You don't know that, all right? The Lord knows. We don't. But as people were casting the money into the treasury, He was beholding how the people cast the money in. And verse 42, it says, there came a certain poor widow, and she threw in two mites, which make a farthing. I believe it's either a half of a penny or a quarter of a penny. And the Bible says in verse number 43, and he called unto him his disciples and said unto them, verily I say unto you that this poor widow which hath cast, I'll try again. That this poor widow hath cast more in than all they which have cast into the treasury. For all they did cast in of their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all her living. People came in and they were casting the money into the treasury, and as many times Jesus would rebuke the Pharisees and the scribes and the Sadducees for how righteous they thought they were and how much they wanted to make sure everyone knew that they were religious and godly people, and they would make their prayers for everyone to be heard, and their long robes and all the stuff to make an appearance for people. And this poor widow woman came and cast in her two mites. She cast in all her living, everything that she had. She gave more than her tithe. She gave her offering. She gave her all. And Jesus wanted to make an example of her to the disciples and said, she's cast more than all of them combined had cast into the treasury because she cast in all of her living. Well, let's have a word of prayer. We'll continue with the message. Lord, I pray that you bless this message today, Lord, as we learn about the subject of stewardship. May we be right in the area of our stewardship. It's a biblical topic. It's an important topic. Pray that we be right with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I've read this story before, but W.A. Criswell told about an ambitious young man who told his pastor he'd promised God a tithe of his income. If you promise God and you promise your pastor, that's a double promise that you're stuck with. They prayed for God to bless his career. At the time, he was making $40 a week, and he was tithing his 10%, the $4. In a few years, his income increased, and he was tithing $500 per week, up a little bit from his $4 a week. He called to the pastor to see if he could be released from his tithing promise because it was too costly now. Shouldn't have made the promise to the pastor. The pastor replied, I don't see how you can be released from your promise, but we can ask God to reduce your income to $40 a week so that you have no problem tithing your $4. Giving. Giving is something that applies to everyone. A tithe is 10%. Now, the government likes to tax and have their different tiers. You make more money and they take more from you, and they're good at doing that. But giving in the area of our stewardship, of the giving, of what God has given to us in our area of our finances. It is important to be right in the area of our money. I want to kind of ask and answer a few questions and maybe sometimes some misunderstood thoughts about areas as we've kind of continued this pattern through our basic training lessons. And today I'd like to ask and answer a few questions and make sure that we understand the subject of stewardship. Number one, how much is a tithe? How much is a tithe? If you go back to Leviticus chapter 27 in your Bibles, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, third book in the Bible, Leviticus 27 and verse number 30. Always look at the Bible. It will define itself for you. I'm not against using a dictionary or a concordance of some sort, but God will tell us what he means in the Word of God. And Leviticus 27 and verse number 30. Leviticus 27 and verse number 30. And it says this, And all the tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or of the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's. It is holy unto the Lord. And if a man will at all redeem aught of his tithes, he shall add thereunto the fifth part thereof. And concerning the tithe of the herd and the flock, even of whatsoever passeth under the rod, the tenth shall be holy unto the Lord. So it first of all says that the tithe is the Lord's. It's not mine, it's not yours, it is already God's. So if I keep it, it is taking from God, as the book of Malachi says. It's already God's, it's not mine. You ever borrowed something from someone and you had it long enough you thought it was yours? Or you've had it so long you think, I need to give it back to them, and it never finds its way to your car or from your car to that person, and it seems that you've stolen it from them and it even has their name on it. The Bible says that the tithe is the Lord's. And it continues on to say in verse number 32 that it's a tenth. The tenth shall be holy unto the Lord. It is the Lord's and it's holy to the Lord. It's a command from God. So this tithe is 10%. The tithe, as given to the Lord, you see here, the tithe in this passage isn't all money. If you notice there, it says the tithe of the land, whether of the seed or of the fruit, it's holy to the Lord. Whatever the Lord has given to you, verse 32, the tithe of the herd, the flock, whatsoever passes under the rod, 10% of anything that God gives to me is for me to give back to God. God allows me to keep 90%, and He's asked for 10% to give back to Him. You can live better on 90% of your income with obedience to God than you can live on 100% of your income with disobedience to God. Amen? 90% obedient to God is much better than that 100% being disobedient to God. I would rather live on 90% of a watermelon than 10% of a grape, if you get what I mean. Amen? When God has given you this much and God said, you give the 10% and I'll keep blessing you with more, and it may not be in the area just of finances but in other areas, and God gives you more, and it seems at some point we have either too little that we can give to God, or as the illustration a little bit ago about the man that prayed for his income to increase and then all of a sudden it was too much to give to the Lord. Either way, it's the same obedience and same sacrifice for every person. It's an area of obedience and sacrifice to everyone. The tithe is given to the general fund of the church. What does it help? It provides for everything that God has allowed us to have with the church. The buildings, the lights, the ministries, all that we have, that God uses that amount of money to keep the church going. And without the giving of people, the church, we start cutting back on areas that maybe God doesn't allow us to do. But on the other side, the more that we are able to give to God and be obedient to God, the more we can do for the Lord. And either way, it's an area of obedience to God. Remember this, and we'll look at the subject of offerings in a little bit, but you can never outgive God. You can never outgive God. And also, you can never go wrong being obedient to the Lord. You'll never regret being obedient to a command that God has given to you. And so when God has commanded us to tithe and bring the tithes to the Lord, we'll look at some more points in a little bit on that we can obedient and trust God in the area of our tithe and of our finances. So the next point is this. So how much is a tithe? That is a 10%. What should I tithe on? What should I tithe on? Turn over to Proverbs chapter 3. We'll turn your Bibles a little bit and get used to finding where the books of the Bible are. If you turn to the middle to Psalms, one book further, you'll find Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs in chapter number 3. What should I tithe on? Proverbs chapter 3 and verse number 9. The Bible says, honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. You know, the Bible says to tithe on all of our increase. Any area that God gives me an increase and blesses me, I get to give that 10% back to God. And that should be a joyous time to say, God, look what I get to bring back to you. Look what I get to give to you. The Bible says the Lord loveth a cheerful giver. How can we be cheerful when I realize that God has given it to me and I get to give some back to God? Right? When God has given me life and strength and health and blessings, I get to give that back to the Lord. So what should I tithe on? The Bible says to honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So what should I give back to the Lord? Of 10% of everything that God has given to me is a tithe. Some would say, should I just tithe on my paycheck? Anything that God gives to me in a paycheck, a gift, an increase from anyone or anything to give back to God. I don't know how you do that, but I want to go to fill up my tithe. I first of all want to make sure that I calculate, just as you would a bill. Okay, Lord, how much do I need to give? And you go through and calculate that. And then sometimes I'll stop and I'll say, Lord, is there anything else that you've given to me that I've forgotten about that I should give back to you? You know, someone buys you lunch or gives you a gift or whatever increase that God has given to you, Lord, is there anything else that you've given to me this week I've forgotten about that I need to tithe on? And let the Lord speak to your heart to give. Some would say, well, do I tithe on my gross or my net income? All right, do I tithe on the take home, which unfortunately is less than what the larger amount of the paycheck may show, and to tithe on the net of everything that God has given to me. Why? Because we should give before we give to the government, before we give to our taxes. The Bible, Jesus would say the disciples render therefore to Caesar the things that are Caesar's and to God the things that are God's, you know. And they were trying to get out of paying their taxes back in the New Testament, just as you may try to do now. Don't do it. Probably not a good idea. But to give to the Lord first, before we give to anyone else. At the beginning of the month, the beginning of the paycheck, whenever it comes, to say, God, you get yours first before anyone else gets theirs. And to give to God very first of everything that God has blessed you with, remembering that everything that I have comes from God. If everything I have comes from God, then 10% of that should go back to God to honor the Lord and to be obedient to the Lord. Look at the next point. Do I have to give an offering? We're going to jump back to the book of Exodus. Exodus chapter 35, the second book of the Bible, Genesis and Exodus chapter 35. Do I have to give an offering? And the answer is no. You don't have to give an offering. But we get to give offerings, right? And that's where the giving gets good, right? The obedient, honoring the Lord, God blesses you from the tithes, but the offering is from a free will heart of giving back to God, saying, God, I want to do more for you. I don't want to do the least that I have to do just to skate by, kind of like that student in school. What's the passing grade? And they're going to squeak on by the employee that says, you know, what do I do? What do I have to do to not get fired? We should be a little better than that, right? We're looking for a little higher level in work or school. Do I have to give an offering? The answer is no, we don't have to, but we get to. Exodus 35 gives us a principle about the offerings. Exodus 35, 21, it says, and they came, everyone whose heart stirred him up, and everyone whom his spirit made willing, and they brought the Lord's offering to the work of the tabernacle of the congregation, and for all his service and for the holy garments. And they came, both men and women, as many as were willing-hearted, and brought bracelets and earrings and rings and tablets, all jewels of gold, every man that offered an offering of gold unto the Lord. They had a willing heart giving to God. In Scripture, there was times that people gave so much, they said, no more. We can't take any more offerings. We have enough. Don't bring any more. I think that's the first and last time that ever happened. Don't give any more. Offerings. The tithe is that 10%. Being obedient, giving back to God, that goes to fund and to further the work of the Lord. Our local New Testament church. For instance, Shasta Baptist Church. That's where the tithe goes to. But then the offering goes over and above of that. You realize there's a few more areas to give than just the basic turn the lights on and pay the insurance bills and all the stuff. That there's areas where we say there's an area to give for an extra project, for an extra ministry, for Bibles, for an outreach in some way, and say we want to do this, but we'll have to give more to do more for the Lord. I get excited when we get to give more to the Lord's work in other areas, in missions. Our missions giving does not come at all out of our general fund. If you only give to general fund, you're not a part of missions work personally. So when you give to missions, that is over and above the tithe, designating that for missions. That's why when you give in your offering envelope, you designate that for your tithe, your general fund, your offerings, your building fund, love offerings, that we get to give over and above. There is so much. There is so much more that we can do for the Lord. Many times the areas that we are limited by is by our faith, our obedience, by laborers, and money. Many times we are limited by You know, who can help do the project? Okay, that's how fast we're going to go. That's how much we can do. What funds do we have? Okay, that's how much we can do. We are limited by the number of people and the finances. Other than that, the sky's the limit, what we can do for God. Amen? You know, having faith and say, God, I'm willing to give more, believing that you'll give back to me. That is an area of faith, isn't it? You say, God, my tithe, the 10%. And you give your tithe and you think, Lord, this week it hurt. This week it was hard to give the tithe. And you think, Lord, I gave my tithe, but I don't know how I'm going to pay the rest of my bills. Isn't it amazing to watch God come through for you when you obey Him? And how God takes care of you, right? God's not going to leave His children forsaken and begging for bread. He's going to make sure you're taken care of. But that's where faith comes in. You see, I'm going to obey you, and that is faith. And say, God, I believe you're going to take care of me now. In the area of offerings, where you can give to missions. If you don't already give to missions, I challenge you to give to missions every single month. Every month. Many of our missionaries we support for $50, $75, $100 a month. You could support a new missionary yourself, $50 a month. Now you look at some of the bills. In this day and age, everything is a subscription model, right? Everything is subscription. $10 a month, $20 a month. It's amazing how quick we go, $10, that's nothing, $20. And we, you know, every month. Well, that's, you know, a few subscriptions. And I could help to support a new missionary that our church can be a part of. You think, okay, I could cut a little here and I could give more to the Lord in an offering, supporting our school, our deacons fund, the bus ministry, love offerings when we have guest speakers, special church projects. Offerings are where the giving gets good because it comes from the heart. Amen? Obedience is I'm doing what is expected of me, being obedient, and that is good. I'm not making light of giving a tithe. But an offering is, God, I get to give more back to you. And you say, Lord, where would you want me to give? And you let God direct your heart to give in an offering in some way to support a ministry. Maybe God has put on your heart a special ministry at Shasta Baptist Church. There's certain people that give to a certain ministry because that's where their heart is. Say, I want to give to support our school more, or a deacon's fund, or a bus ministry, or a missions giving. And say, I want to give more in another area. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6 and 7 says, but this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. You squeak it out a little bit, God blesses you back a little bit. But he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as God purposeth in his heart, so let him give. Not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. Saying, I want to give back to you, not because I have to, because I want to, and getting excited about giving. I think I gave the illustration last week as well, but when you ask your kid to share something with you, and they go, no, it's mine. And you're like, I gave that to you. I bought it. I'm the one that got you the treat. I just want one lick, or one sip, or one bite, whatever it is. But when your kid's like, Daddy or Mommy, would you like some? You're like, oh, that was nice. No, I don't want to lick that after you. No, that looks gross. Thank you, but no, thank you. You probably should, just to help them to learn how to share. Maybe take them to Mommy to share that with her. I'm not sure. You think about that, this sowing and reaping principle in the area of giving, though, right? If you have a garden, you plant one seed, you know, you get one plant that comes up. You know, you plant 100 seeds and maybe, or maybe not, you get 100 plants that come up. But the more you plant, the more you sow, the more fruit you're going to get back from that. Realize this, you can never outgive God. Remember that, you can never outgive God. I know, in our human thinking, we think, Lord, but I've got the bills and the family. Yes, take care of your home and your family, pay your bills, go to work, take care of yourself. But know this, that God can take care of you better than you can take care of you. God knows the needs that we have, so He will take care of you. So give back to God, and God will give back to you. Where should I give? Where should I give? I want to ask you to turn over to 1 Corinthians. We're back and forth quite a bit today. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. And about halfway through your New Testament, Acts, Romans, and then 1 Corinthians, chapter 16. Where should I give? Should I take my tithe and give it to the local animal shelter? No, that's not where the tithe is supposed to go. I'm not against you giving to the animal shelter, but no, that's not where it goes. Do we take our tithe to the rescue mission? No, but I'm not against giving to the rescue mission. Should I give it to the TV preacher? That's a hard no on that one. I hear too many stories about that. But where should I give? 1 Corinthians 16, verse number 1 and 2, it says, "Now concerning the collection for the saints," or the giving, "as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay up by him in store, as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come." He tells the church to bring their tithes to the storehouse. That is referenced back also to the book of Malachi. I won't have you turn there. But the Bible says to bring ye the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. To bring our tithes to the storehouse. Now think about this. You go to work, you get a paycheck to take care of your family. Could you imagine going to work, getting your paycheck, and not paying for the bills and taking care of your home? The Bible says those that don't take care of their own, they're worse than an infidel. And so, yes, you should take care of your own. But could you imagine you get your paycheck and you go waste it on whatever goofy stuff or fun things, or even worse, you take your living, your earnings, and you go to pay for someone else's family, but you let your wife and your spouse and your children go without. Is that the right thing to do? No, it's not. To go and pay for someone else's family but not take care of your own. You take care of your own family. It's amazing, though, how many times that even as Christians sometimes we think, well, God has blessed me and I'm going to give. I'm just not going to give to my church. I'm going to give to another church. Well, this is your church. Amen? This isn't my church. This is our church, I should say. Amen? She has to have some ownership. That's why you join a church. Right? You join a church. Everyone's welcome to attend, but there is some ownership when you join a church. You say, I get to help provide for the place where I am taught, where I am fed, where my children are raised and taught in the Word of God. Say, I want to be a part of this. I'm not against giving in other areas and disaster relief funds or whatever areas the Lord may lead you to. I will say this, be careful where you give. Be careful. They say, oh, it's going here, and they pocket 90% and give out 10%. I'm not giving there. I'm not doing that. I'm not going to fund someone to have a mansion and a Rolls Royce while it doesn't go to where I'm giving. I'm not giving to another place, but the best place to give is right here in your local New Testament church. It's the best place to give. Why? It's an eternal investment. Again, giving to the animal shelter, I don't dislike animals, but I love souls a whole lot more than I do the animals, though. If I'm going to make an investment in eternity to lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, again, I'm not slamming on the animal shelter. It may seem that way. I'm not meaning that. But that's not an eternal investment. It's really not. But an investment in the bus ministry, that's an eternal investment. And a vacation Bible school or a teen revival or missions, that's about souls. And that's why you give to your local New Testament church, where God can do more right where you are. It makes a difference right here where you live. Don't you want to make a difference right here in Redding, California? The city where you live? Hey, that's why God has started a local New Testament church, and God plants churches all around, and that we can reach the area right where we are. I should give right to my local New Testament church. God started the church. God uses the church. God will continue using the church because that's who God has established to do His work. How often should I give? We'll finish with this point this morning. How often should I give? We already read it in 1 Corinthians 16. It says, I give an order to the church of Galatia, even so do ye. It says, upon the first day of the week, which would be Sunday. Amen. The New Testament, that's why we meet on the first day of the week. All right? Not Seventh-day Adventists. On the first day of the week, it says to bring every one of you as every one of you laid by him in store as God hath prospered him. To give on the first day of the week. You say, I want to wait to give till the end of the year. Well, how does the church function on a monthly or a weekly basis if you wait till the end of the year? That'd be like telling your mortgage company, I'll pay it all at the end of the year. Would you wait 12 months for me to give all of my bills at the end? They might say, that's okay. They may say, we'll take your house back instead. They may say, okay, but we're going to charge you a whole lot of interest if you'd like to hold back on that. Again, the area of giving is about obedience and faith. Obedience and faith. Look at your finances. You do a financial review on occasion or regularly. Do a financial review and you look and you maybe do your check register, which those are getting outdated, right? And our young people may never know what a check is. I imagine that there's some of them may never write a check in their whole life. It may already be obsolete in many areas, not completely, but it's heading that direction. But to give to the Lord, to look at your finance, say, God, have I given to you obediently, faithfully, and then have I given to you over and above this past year? Look at your giving. I encourage you when you get your giving summary from last year, look at it. Look over and say, Lord, how much was I able to give in the area of missions? Not to pat yourself on the back and say, look what I did, but to say, thank you, God, that I got to give back to you. Maybe to look at it and say, Lord, I could have done more for you, or maybe I can do more for you. You can never outgive God. He which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, but he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. The book of Malachi, the Lord says, to prove me now herewith, that I will not open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing upon you, that you shall not have room enough to receive it. Isn't that a great illustration of giving? That when you give, God's going to open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing on you. You may say, but I have a fixed income, you know, and the expenses are only getting higher. Man, I don't do a lot of shopping at our home, but sometimes when I do the shopping, I get sticker price shock. I'm like, a loaf of bread is what? You know, like, are you kidding me? And then on occasions you get like, you know, the eggs or the whatever, the meat, you know, and you know, how are we going to afford just to pay for the groceries this month? And I don't want to depress you with talking about inflation right now, but my goodness, no matter what economic standing could be, no matter what the paycheck, whatever it is, always give to the Lord, because that's a place of obedience to God. God will bless those that obey Him faithfully in the area of giving. Tithes is where it begins, and then offering, which just goes over and above. Look at your giving. Has the Lord laid on your heart an area, and maybe say, Lord, I've not been giving in the area of tithes as I should. I don't know what you give. I don't check the giving records of who gives what. I don't know that at all. I get the lump sum each week and say, praise the Lord, or oh my, it's one or the other. And I don't know what each person gives, but I know it's between me and God. It's between me and God. I say, God, I want to be blessed by you. I want to be obedient to you. And I want you to bless my life, my home, my family, and this church. Let's make sure we're right in the area of giving. We take what God has given to us so we can do more for the Lord. We're not taking the funds to get rich, but it's how much more can we do for the cause of Christ. There's much to be done, isn't there, church? Lay up treasures in heaven. Let's have a word of prayer. We thank you, Lord, for this, this needed area of a challenge about our giving. We do have many, many faithful givers at Shasta.